Our second reading is a portion slightly edited from a poem by T.S. Eliot. Now, T.S. Eliot, we may not know, grew up at the First Unitarian Church in St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown, and he grew up not that far from where I grew up, and it will be read by Rita Galani.
At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor toward, at the still point, there is the dance. And do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered, neither movement from nor movement towards, neither ascent nor decline, except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance, and there is only the dance. The freedom from desire, the release from action and suffering, the release from compulsion, yet surrounded by grace, a white light, still and moving. At the still point of the turning world, there the dance is. At the still point of the turning world, there the dance is. At the still point of the turning world, there the dance is.
Well, as Judd read for us in our reading, it is the middle of December. We don't need reminders about that, do we? And as an essay I read this week put it by my favorite preacher, Barbara Brown Taylor, like it or not, we are here in the holidays with their intricate blessings and their woes, she says. There are presents to buy. There are visits to plan. There are cards to send. There are meals to prepare, at least for those of us who are so inclined. And those who are not may spend as much time resisting the season as others spend giving into them. But either way, she says, few of us will escape what we will now call, for the rest of this sermon, the holiday time machine. Are we ready to travel? Now, some of us climb onto this machine at Thanksgiving and off we go, while others hold out to Hanukkah or to Christmas Eve in this room. And if you've never been here on Christmas Eve, give yourself the gift of being here. It is beautiful. But make no mistake that sooner or later, all of us will enter that quiet room where all the walls become windows and the floor is clear glass and the ceiling above us is clear glass. And there we are, looking out from our lives at long-ago scenes from our past. So fresh, we can still smell what we smelled then. So close, we can still roll the taste around over our tongue. So real, we can hear the sounds and the voices as we heard them before. It reminds us that the past is never really over. Now, for some of us, this travel through time is a welcome trip because we have been blessed or we are lucky. And for others of us, this is why we might want to spend the entire month in bed, because this season reminds us of times we want to forget or of people we have loved, whom we cannot touch anymore, and who we miss this time of year even more, if that is possible. In the interest of giving one another permission in this room to be real and vulnerable instead of pretending and plastic, I want us to admit at least this, that the holidays for each one of us are a mixed bag of joy and longing, just as we too are a mixed bag of joy and longing. Now, truth is that I did not really want to get on the time machine this year. I didn't want to go. And I'm not alone. But there I was, and I was standing over the box of Christmas ornaments looking down last Friday night. Oh, look, here's the ornament that my parents brought back from their summer trip to Alaska. It has a bunch of antlers, and they're sharp. Kids, be careful. Oh, look, here's the baby Jesus dressed in hip-hop clothes my brother gave us. What else do we have? Oh, here's the lighthouse. Karen and I received our first Christmas in Boston 13 years ago. Oh, here's the star that Karen cut out from a Wheaties cereal box, wrapped in foil, back in the early years when money was tight and homemade crafts were not about style, my friends, they were about necessity. What's this, says our daughter, holding up a plastic bag with a round disc inside. And before I knew what was happening to me, before I knew, the walls were clear. The floor is clear, and there's glass all around. And I am transported back in time to December 1980. I am 9 years old. And there is my grandmother calling me from her front porch. Nathan, honey, come in. And I get out of the car and I run and I step onto the porch. And she gives me a big hug. She's got a bun on her head, just like the pictures. And there is the smell of her perfume. I can still smell it. And there are the soft folds of her cheek, and she's rubbing them up against my cheek. And she ushers me into the living room, past the empty rocking chair I see my grandfather used to sit in before the marriage ended, before the divorce. And there are the photos of the family lining the walls. Me as a baby, me as a toddler, me as a child before braces. I'm looking at the photo. Good grief, did I have buck teeth. She takes my hand and she leads me through to the dining room, the twinkling of lights on the tree over in the corner. In those days, it was a real tree, just like she was real. There's nothing artificial about her. There's nothing fake. She says, the tree is beautiful, Nathan, this year, isn't it? And it is. Through the windows of my time machine, I imagine her decorating it all by herself. I imagine her stepping down into the basement and lifting out the boxes of ornaments collected over the years. These ornaments telling the story of a time when her three boys, one of them my dad, were still boys, and my grandfather was still in the house, and they were all still a family together. It hurts to watch this, just a little, imagining her decorating that house all alone. Nathan, I have left a spot on the tree for you and me to fill. I look in the corner and sure enough she has. There is a bare circle of branches there reaching up to the ceiling and they are waiting. Those branches are calling our names. And then she points to the dining room table spread out an inch thick with every material you can imagine. There is paper and cardboard and feathers and marbles and string, discs of faux leather, lima beans and pinto beans, uncooked. There are green and red and purple feathers. There is Elmer's glue, popsicle sticks, paper clips, and mountains and mountains and mountains of white cotton. Now at 9, and it could be said at 40, What to give the people you love can be an intimidating prospect, can't it? What to give the people you love? Here is love, say our grandmothers and our parents and our lovers and our spouses. Here is warmth. Here is comfort. Here is strength. Here is support. And what do we say in return? Thank you, and here is a gift of a flannel shirt. Here is a Snuggie. Here is that Xbox game I'm giving you against my better judgment. And here, Grandma, here is this hour we can spend at the table. Just you and me. Next to me, she places a favorite frosted root beer mug, and there is a curling, curling straw. And next to me, she sits, telling me about her shift the night before at the hospital where she is a nurse. She was not home until 2 a.m., but I loved every single moment, she says, teaching me in her own way how important it is to find things you love in life. And me telling her about my friends, about the basketball I will play later that winter, about the bicycle I hope that Father Christmas will bring to me on Christmas morning. Now, I did not know it yet because I was too young. But outside of that dining room where she and I were sitting, there was a world that was rushing and that was tinseled and that was full of chit-chat and more full of pretense than any of us can ever say out loud. But inside that room, at that table, there were only two people talking. Two people making, in my case, the ugliest ornament you have ever seen. There was no sound other than our two voices and the slurp of my straw against the bottom of that glass mug and the clock, the cuckoo clock, calling out 3 p.m. from the kitchen. And from the clear windows of my time machine, do you know what I hear? I hear those words from T.S. Eliot. In the stillness of the turning world, there is the dancing. There is the dancing. When she died 9 years ago, I received a package in the mail from my family. A soft, padded envelope that tells you something fragile is inside, outside of which there's a sticker that says, "Handle with care." And I'm thinking, oh, how the world would be different and you and I might be different and the season would be different if we were wrapped like this, with signs on us that told those people who receive us, handle with care. I tear open the top of the envelope, I look inside, and there is a plastic bag. A faux leather disc, on top of which I glued 5 lima beans, 2 green feathers. I told us it was ugly. My wife says, "You were 9 when you made this?" My gifts came later, what can I say? On the back, she wrote Nathan, 1980. But that is not all. At the bottom of the envelope, I find a note from her, written before death, telling me she wanted me to have this as a way to hold on to her memory and the time that we spent at 2:50 in December, all those afternoons and years ago. This memory, a still point in my turning life and the changing world. And again, I'm reminded of the words by Eliot, "In the stillness, my friends, there is the dance." You might think that unpacking these ornaments years later and decorating that tree would be a sad moment for me, because I'm reminded of her, of Billy, and how I can't touch her anymore. But I have not found that to be the case. Instead, taking this ornament out of its bag and hanging it there on a bare spot on the tree means that I get to climb again, that time machine, to the place where she is still alive. And I'm not yet an adult with all of the worries and the angst and the responsibilities that adulthood brings. And she is still calling me from her front porch, "Nathan, honey, come in." And I can still feel her cheek against my cheek. And we enter the quiet dining room that is, in my memory, more holy than any cathedral, more sacred than any church. And my point in telling you all of this, and thank you for letting me tell you, is not simply to expose my memories to you. It is to ask you to pay attention to your memories, to pay attention to the memories in particular that you and I are creating right now, here today, right here with those that we love. Because outside of these walls on this very morning, there are people knocking themselves out at the mall, trying to find that perfect gift, that perfect thing. And they are rushing, and they are going, and they are running, and they are turning. And there are people this very morning who are knocking themselves out just to make ends meet, and who think they cannot give a gift this year. While meanwhile, there are these little rooms in our lives, these rooms of memory, and these rooms waiting to make memories, these still precious moments in the turning, complicated world that you and I live in. My prayer for us this season, two things. Pay attention to the still points. And number two, pay attention to the dancing. With love and with an amen, I invite us to rise for our closing hymn. It is Bright Morning Stars, and Kathy Leonard is going to sing the first verse for us.
Thank you.
Let us say together our call to ministry, these words, our faith lived out into the world. We go forth into the world in peace to act with works of love, to affirm each person's dignity, to cherish the living earth. In your inserts, I have given us a benediction for this morning, and not just for this morning. It is for you to post on your refrigerators, okay? And if you have one of those cool chrome ones or whatever they're called that don't have magnets, tape it there. And I actually want us to read this together. Say with me, this holiday season, mend a quarrel, seek out a forgotten friend, dismiss suspicion and replace it with trust, write a love letter, share some treasure, give a soft answer, offer encouragement, manifest your loyalty in word and deed, keep a promise, find the time, forgive an enemy, listen, apologize if you were wrong, try to understand, examine your demands on others, think first of someone else, appreciate, be kind, be gentle, laugh a little more, deserve confidence, decry complacency, express your gratitude, welcome a stranger, gladden the heart of a child, take pleasure in the beauty and wonder of the earth, speak your love, speak it again, speak it still once again. Let us receive our amen from the choir.